Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Good afternoon, radio friends. Thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We've got Brother Mike Reeves and Miss Lori Reeves. They're going to be singing now, "When I Got Saved." I hope it'll be a blessing as you listen.
Changed by the truth I had heard, and that's when God opened my heart and my mind, and I understood for the very first time. I was moved when I thought of God's Son on a cross, where I knew He should not.
We're excited to have Brother Mike Reeves coming around at this time. He's going to be preaching the third part of the message on intersections. He's been speaking about personal intersections, powerful intersections, and now he's going to be looking at painful and productive intersections. Hope this is a blessing to you as we go to part three of the message.
A lot of folks got the idea you can just get saved anytime you want to. All you got to do is just wait a minute. I believe in a whosoever will salvation. This Bible don't teach a whensoever will salvation. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You got to be drawn by the Holy Ghost of God. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 12:16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person such as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright, and afterward, when he would have received the blessing, was rejected and found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I'm telling you, if God gives you that getting off place, you better not miss it. Because there may come a day when you want to change roads and you can't find a place to get off. It was a powerful intersection. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to earth and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" God confronted him, and he fell. And I'll give you two more little things, and we'll go to the house, but it was a painful intersection. Why was it a painful intersection? Because it crushed his religious pride. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It's at least a week's journey from Jerusalem to Damascus, Syria. A week's journey. For 7 days, this thing's been eating at him. Because when he is back at Jerusalem, he heard Stephen preaching that word of God. And that word of God had got in his heart, and it was bothering him, and it was eating at him, and he was trying to get this thing off of him, but he couldn't get it off of him. And that pricks, the prick in his heart, it literally means an ox goad. You church folks know that. It's a long stick that's sharpened and pointed, that when a man is working with oxen, you don't just always lead them. Sometimes you get behind them, and you have to prod them with that ox goad, that sharp stick, and it's pointed at. It's not to hurt them and do them harm. It's just to goad them along a little bit. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "Saul, you've been kicking against the pricks." That means for some time now that God had been pricking his heart. In Philippians 3:4, Saul said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think he hath whereof he might trust in flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and is touching the law of Pharisee and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Can you hear this religious man walking down that road headed to Damascus, arguing with God, saying, "There ain't no way I could be lost. There ain't no way." I was preaching out in Oklahoma a few months ago, and there's a little old girl, did everything in the church except be born again. She was the secretary and the treasurer, one of the sweetest little old young wife, young mother, just a precious young lady in the church. God got to dealing with her heart, and the Holy Ghost of God laid in on her, and she stayed one night, and there was a bunch of folks in the preacher's office praying, and little old church secretary getting saved. She stood up the next night and got baptized, stood up and told the church. She said, "I kept giving God a list of all these reasons why I couldn't be saved." And she said, "Finally, God told me he didn't want my list. He wanted my heart." Hey, God don't want your list. God wants your heart. In at least a week, the Holy Ghost of God is laid in on his heart and troubled the water of his soul. Listen, listen to me. When God was moving in revival, brother, on Flint Hill, I pulled out the driveway one day and I stopped in the driveway, and there was a lady came walking out of the woods crying like a baby under Holy Ghost conviction. Just come walking out of the woods, weeping. We met with her, and she went down to my house, and my wife was there, and that lady. And the word of God said, not many noble, not many wise, not many rich. This woman was a multimillionaire. And she sat in my living room, and she talked with me and my wife, tears streaming down her face. It was obvious. I mean, a blind man on a galloping horse could see God had been dealing with this woman mightily. And she sat there in my living room that morning, and she looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and she said, "I just cannot believe I'm lost. I just cannot believe I'm lost." Well, if God tells you you're lost, you better believe it. You better believe it. My precious mother was one of the sweetest church ladies that ever been. And at 80 years of age, I may have told you a little of this the other night, my mother at 80 years of age, I sat down at the table, and God had put it in my heart, asked my mama to share her salvation testimony. And I was struggling with that. I knew something just wasn't right. Preacher's wife. My daddy was a great preacher, great man of God, great pastor, great evangelist. My mama drove him. My daddy was totally blind. I'm about 90% blind, a little more than 90% blind. And my mother driven him all over the country. And she sat at that table. And I said, Mama, tell me about when you got saved. And my mama said, well, I was 14 years old at Flint Hill Baptist Church. Let me tell you about when your daddy got saved. Brother, there was something just wadded up on the inside of me. My mama's 80 years old, and my mama ain't got a clear salvation testimony. But it broke my heart. As a matter of fact, it tore me up so bad. When I would pray, I literally could not say, God save my mama. I couldn't bring myself to say that. But I would say, God, whatever my mama needs, will you give it to her? God was moving in revival fires. There's folks getting saved left and right. God was doing a mighty work. I don't know what all happened, but it was all wonderful, and God gets all the glory. And on Sunday night, my mom was 81 years old. This is a year later, some odd months later. Sitting at that same kitchen table, my 81-year-old mama looked at me and my wife. We'd come in after Sunday night church, and somebody else had brought her to the house. She said, young'un, she said, y'all sit down. She said, I'm going to tell you something that'll knock your socks off. I had no idea. I don't know. I have no idea what my mama's about to tell me. My wife and I sat down at the kitchen table, my 81-year-old mother, sitting at the head of the table at her spot. My daddy had done gone on to glory. And my mama sitting there at the end of the table got this faraway look in her eye. And this is what she said, preacher. She said, I have been so stinking religious. I have been so stinking religious. And my mama lit up like a Christmas tree. And she said, I just want to tell you the other night, I sit back there in my bedroom in my lift chair, and God was just stirring the waters of my heart, and I know that I was lost, and I knew God was giving me an invitation to come. And she said, I said, Lord, I've got arthritis so bad I can't even get down on my knees. God, I can't even bow down in the floor. But she said, I want you guys to know I turned around in my lift chair. And I surrendered my heart to Christ. I repented, and God saved me back there in my lift chair. My mama single-handedly tore that community upside down. Because if Mary Reeves could have been lost, that knocked the props out of some of them other religious whodunits. They tried every way they could to talk her into. She just got confused. Nobody, I'm going to tell you what, when the glory of God came on my mama got to, I'd never seen my mama worship. I was 40-some years old. I'd never seen my mama worship in the Holy Ghost. But after God did something for her in that lift chair, I watched my mama begin to shout the glory of God, testify in church, praise God. One of those things on the website, brother, one of those worship services, my mama got to worship, and she got to say, and he said he'd come, he said he'd come. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying something changed. It was a productive intersection.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app, where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.